We're taking time this April to savor poetry in honor of National Poetry Month. Today, an anthology of African-American nature poems called Black Nature. While putting the book together, poet Camille T. Dungy pored over verse going back to the 1700s. She opens the collection with a late 20th century poem by Lucille Clifton, read here by Camille Dungy.
Surely I am able to write poems celebrating grass, and how the blue in the sky can flow green or red, and the waters lean against the Chesapeake shore like a familiar. Poems about nature and landscapes, surely. But whenever I begin, the trees wave their knotted branches, and why is there under that poem always an other poem?
Camille Dungy calls this collection of nature poetry by African Americans a first of its kind. She says black poets are rarely thought of as writing in a genre that can bring to mind the leisure, the time to contemplate, say, fields of flowers.
The way that the tradition of nature poetry has taken off in America in particular is often about a pastoral landscape, a very sort of idealized rural landscape, or a wilderness landscape in which people aren't involved. And black people have been typically working in the land, and that's not part of the idyllic version of things. And then also, the majority of African Americans have tended to live in urban landscapes, and so there's a very different view quite often of the natural world.
There are poems in here that speak of a slave past, and some, in fact, written by slaves. This one by Marilyn Nelson has this sort of lovely and sad line. It's about the peanut, which is
yes.
Arachis hypogea. And I'll just read it. Arachis hypogea may have been smuggled to North America by slaves who hid seeds of survival in their hair. What do you make of that image, seeds of survival?
As the poem moves further, it says promise and purpose, the ancestor's dream, right? That so much of what the peanut, the sweet potato or yam, the cultivation of greens, there's so many things that were about sustenance that if we look at history and say, well, black people can only write about the natural world and think about slavery or think about being a runaway, you forget that other component, that there has always been promise and survival. Survival in the natural world, that some people knew where to look and how to look. And so that is as much a part of these poems, the hope and the potential for a real connection and collaboration is there as much as this devastating and horrible history is there.
There's a view of nature quite sweet, even quite silly. It's a haiku by Richard Wright.
Coming from the woods, a bull has a lilac sprig dangling from a horn.
It's such a lovely little moment.
Right, the sort of comic look of this giant, potentially really violent creature with this sort of dopey, glorious little lilac sprig and the beautiful smell of the lilac next to the probably not so beautiful smell of the bull. It's just so much contradiction right there. And the world that's being described throughout this book has that same breath of possibility in terms of what direction we might go from sadness to joy. And sometimes from line to line, we move through that.
There was one poem that had me laughing my head off. It's called Ambition 2, Mosquitoes in the Mist. It's by the poet Tim Siebels. Would you read the first two stanzas and we'll sort of get
sure.
the idea?
You human types, you two-legged sapiens, you guys are walking smoothies to me. Milkshakes wearing trousers, a cup of coffee mowing a lawn. I gotta hand it to you, though. All the colors, the smells, tall, petite, skinny minis, or whopping whale-sized Mother Humphreys. You got variety. I'm zipping around some summer nights, and it's like an all-you-can-eat situation.
And it goes on, but there's another quite amusing one which would not seem immediately about nature. It's structured as a classified ad in the newspaper.
Yes, it's Evie Shockley's poem, 31 Words, Prose Poems, number 12. Highly visual rural winter image seeks lyric poem 14 to 30 lines, for mutual enrichment and long-term relationship. Image offers frostbitten river and fog-covered fields where snow seems to rise toward its origins.
Wow.
And another thing that a lot of these poems do is they really sort of consciously remind you of what some of the expectations for what a nature poem is, and kind of makes us rethink what it means to be Black and how we might see the world. And so poems like this, I think, are really fun in that you come at them thinking one thing and you leave thinking another.
You end this collection in a gentle way, for the most part. There's a beautiful one by Anne Spencer. It's called Earth, I Thank You.
Yes. Anne Spencer was a civil rights activist. She was the librarian for the Black Library, because in the town of Lynchburg, Virginia, it was in the deed that African Americans could not go into the building. And so she was the librarian for the African Americans in the town. She was working against a lot of arbitrary racism. But at the same time, she had this incredible garden in her backyard. And she was also aware of this other kind of peace and beauty. Earth, I thank you. Earth, I thank you for the pleasure of your language. You've had a hard time bringing it to me from the ground, to grunt through the noun, to the all the way feeling, seeing, smelling, touching, awareness. I am here.
Poet Camille T. Dungy, she edited the new anthology Black Nature, Four Centuries of African American Nature Poetry. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Renee.
And you can read her poem, Language, at our website, npr.org. Tomorrow, Poems for the Awkward Years, a new collection for tweens. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.